We stay in John's Gospel this morning in the 11th chapter, familiar story. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after hearing this, that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him." The disciples said, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll be all right." However, Jesus was speaking about his death. They thought he was referring just to sleep. And then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go so we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Mary heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." When she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he was also greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there's a stench because he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of those standing here, so they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of those, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. In our hearing, our speaking, our living. Some days it seems you look around and all you see are dry bones. There's a story this week out of Nigeria. They discovered just a field of bones, those who had been murdered by Boko Haram and left there. A literal field. Places like southern Sudan, torn by civil war. And we don't have to look all that far. I was in a meeting this week with the police chief who talked about the terrible opioid crisis that's going on around the country and how it has hit here. And we are seeing such a terrible spike in needless deaths because of it. There is an uptick in domestic violence, in environmental damage. Legalized discrimination seemed to get the upper hand this week. Sometimes they're just a lot of dry bones. What Ezekiel saw was this large valley filled with actual bones bleached white by the desert sun. It's thought that perhaps he was standing at the scene of a former battle where countless soldiers had died at the hands of the invading army of Nebuchadnezzar. It was a place of despair, a place without hope. Just a lot of bones. In the gospel reading, what Mary and Martha saw was a lifeless body, their beloved brother. They saw an open tomb waiting to receive him. What they didn't see was Jesus. Jesus had been friends with Lazarus and Martha, and Mary had eaten in their home and had countless conversations, and now Lazarus was dead. Martha goes running out to confront Jesus on the road, and I hear her speaking to him in great anger and grief and frustrations. If you had been here, my brother would be alive. Mary and Martha, I think, are patron saints for those of us who need to pour out our anger and our grief and our frustration to God and not be afraid to do so. They give us permission to express our hurt and anger. God, if you had intervened, my friend would not have overdosed. God, if you'd shown up, that tragic accident might not have happened. God, if you could just do something about all those people doing terrible things to others. God, if you could just knock some sense into some people. We don't usually get simple, direct answers when we feel God is missing in action. We generally don't get exactly the kind of miracle we hope for. What we get instead is an invitation. One of the most consistent themes in Scripture is this, that in the midst of death and destruction, there's always an invitation. Pharaoh enslaves the Hebrew people and everything looks hopeless. Look closer at that burning bush, Moses, God says. You'll lead my people out of bondage. People are in the desert starving and dying of thirst, and they think all is for naught, no food or water in sight. Look again, God says. That's manna, that's bread to eat, and that rock is going to spring forth with water. Jezebel and Ahab are going to kill Elijah, and he thinks his life is surely over. Stop running, the angel says, and listen. And he hears a still small voice. Over and over, invitation after invitation. Come, Jesus said, and I will have you fish for people. Early in John's gospel, John the Baptist's disciples asked Jesus, where are you staying? And he says, come and see. And then Jesus asked the women where they've laid the body of their brother. And they say, come and see. Come and see our grief and our pain and our loss. And Lazarus is raised from the dead. Ezekiel sees bones reconnect, sinew and bone and flesh rejoined. Mary and Martha see their brother emerge. Out of despair comes an invitation. From death comes new life. To attempt to live a Christian life is to receive that invitation to look again, listen again, try again. The church exists for the purpose of standing with those who face valleys of dry bones, those who are asking why and what good can possibly come from this illness, this loss, this injustice. And it is the business of the church to say, come and see. In the midst of a death-dealing culture that increasingly turns its back on the poor and the sick and the lost, and hears only the voice of money and power and fame, the church hears a different invitation and willingly shares that invitation. Come and find life. The church is called to be the great surgeon's assistant, helping reconnect bone to sinew, skin to bone, breath to lungs. The church does not have to have all the answers, and indeed it does not. But as the church, we encourage each other. There's an invitation waiting for you. Let's help each other find it. Jesus, where do you live? Come and see. Church says, not in a building, but in the people who are feeding the hungry and working for justice and welcoming the outcast. Jesus, where is there any hope for our world racked by addiction and warfare and greed and cynical political games? Come and see, the church says. Come and see where there's help for those in need. Where there's generosity of spirit, where there's community that battles isolation, where there is commitment that can overcome cynicism. Come and see what God can do with dry bones and stone-cold tombs. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, says Jesus. I read the paper, I see horrible comments online and social media that people make hateful things. I look around and I see dry bones. I hear so much suffering, and I see those in power sometimes increasing that suffering. Sometimes it seems to me the church in general itself has become dried up bones with nothing to say. And with Ezekiel, I cry out, Lord, can these bones live? And without fail, there comes an invitation. Look again. Listen. There's more going on than you can fathom or understand. Come and see. Come and receive the breath of the Spirit. Come and rest in the presence of the great healer. Come and listen for the voice of love, stronger and more enduring than all the other voices. I will put my spirit within you, and you will live, God says to me, to all of us. Dempsey R. Calhoun is a poet and put it beautifully. It was never about the bones anyway. Rather, a glimpse of the pure power, a reminder of who's in charge of restoration. Real hope lies in the source. Amen.